Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 14th of September. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Steve Madrone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian, and all the listeners out at sea.
So you missed the train or the boat? Everybody else is at CSAC, right?
I got work to do in my district. I don't know. Conferences are interesting, right?
Well, we'll talk about training in a sec. Okay, now there is a streak of two going.
Oh, okay.
Two in a row. So pressure is on for our, why do we say that?
Two in a row, that you mean they guessed it?
Yeah.
They knew why?
Yeah.
Oh, man, talk about pressure.
All right. Here we go. Easy Street.
that's
a two-edged sword, or?
That's my job.
You should step through it, yeah.
Join on. Well, I don't know why more people don't run.
Yeah. Any ideas on this one?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I failed.
Anytime you find a new acquaintance is living quite comfortably, you may think to yourself that he or she is living on Easy Street. This expression sounds as though it might have come from Bunyan, Dickens, or other writers. It's not difficult to picture a broad avenue bearing this name, perhaps located not far from London's famous Westminster Abbey. Oddly, though, the designation originated in the New World. It seems to have appeared in print in a 1902 novel, one of whose most prosperous characters could walk up and down Easy Street. It seems logical to describe a person in comfortable circumstances as having an address that summarizes his or her lifestyle. Catching the expression from the story entitled It's Up to You, Easy Street was soon widely familiar.
So what, you gave the
That's
other guys...
That's kind of cool. I like that one.
It is cool. So you gave the other guys the easy stuff, and then you give me the...
Well, see the one above it?
With like three pages.
See that one right there?
Yes.
I figured that would carry a little bit more potential for discussion.
Yeah. None of us have ever felt double-crossed.
No. Yeah, I would have thought Easy Street was... Now, wouldn't that be cool if you were a developer? And you had certain streets in your development.
Easy Street, there you go.
And Easy Street was one of them. And and there was a school in there. It was the school.
Yeah.
Would be entitled Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
So it'd be the School of Hard Knocks.
Absolutely. Well, there's one guy right
that's
now
kinda
that's
cool.
Not feeling like he's on Easy Street, is he?
Oh. Depending on who you're talking about, I'm not sure if he knows where he is.
Lost track of the boundaries.
Yeah. When you hear some of the stuff coming out of the state, left, right, up, down, I'm sure having having the picture of the governor wearing a fleece sweater saying, let your heat go up. Those types of situations, how do you react to it? I know a lot of us have an immediate reaction. As an elected, seeing elected, you just kind of shake your head and go, really?
Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't really come into my day-to-day that much, actually. I don't really see that stuff that
much. No, but it paints a picture.
Yeah, well, certainly. It certainly does. It was kind of like when, telling everybody to take vaccines and ease off at some big old party or whatever, you know. So you see these things, and it really does kind of shake it up. But to be honest, Brian, I don't really pay much attention to that stuff. Things are so busy right here in the county.
Oh, sure. There's lots of stuff, but I'm sure that you get
I don't even watch
people nibbling on your heels.
Oh, yeah.
Say, well, you know, boys, you see what so-and-so did?
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
I don't even really watch the news out that much because it's so depressing. I try to focus on the things I want to get done and the good people that want to work together and just get out there and do that,
So that
fills my life.
Yeah.
That's more than enough.
Yeah.
Fleece sweaters, I don't know.
Understood. Committee appointments.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't hear an awful lot about that. Or if we do, it's about what committees you're on.
Certainly.
As a representative, not those committees that you have an appointee.
Yeah, right.
That you select, okay, I want this guy on the
Absolutely.
Planning commission. I want this guy over in this committee or that. How do you make those determinations? Who goes where? Do you wait for them to come to you or do you reach out and say, you know, I got something here. If you want to do some community service, would you consider?
Yeah, I'm sure it's different for each supervisor or others that have that ability. And as you know, we have a tremendous amount of committees, and we do most of our committee appointments in January. especially when you get a new supervisor coming in, which is also when we elect chair and vice chair for the year, and I would be in the rotation for chair starting in January.
Oh, my God.
I know. Look at it. You know, people think that suddenly it's going to go radical left. It's not.
No, just...
You know, I mean, I think...
Seeing you in the center of the dais would just be kind of...
Well, if you look
a
at
nice
way,
visual.
If you look at the way I operate, I really am a centrist guy, you know, in a lot of ways. Yes, I have strong environmental education background and leanings, but, you know, you don't get anything done if you just try to push your perspective. You have to be able to find that spirit of compromise. And so I actually look forward to the role to be able to help try and get us all to work better and maybe even get the meetings done more efficiently.
Are you ready for the workload, though?
Oh, yeah.
That's the one thing that everybody is take their turn. Yeah. And that hits, you know, after the novelty is gone.
Sure.
About 3 months in.
Yeah.
And you realize how much extra lift you're mm-hmm. having to do in preparation to yeah. even have the agenda set.
Well, and the agenda preparation is huge in terms of how you organize that in order to have an efficient and timely meeting and get the most important things done. And, you know, when it starts getting to be 5:30, 6 at night, I'm going to be like, let's shut this down. And if there was something important, it should have been at the beginning of the agenda, excuse me, because who makes a good decision after sitting there for 10 hours? Nobody.
One of the things that is really intriguing to me is the personality. Most people say, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it does.
Certainly.
It really matters a lot in how the agendas are developed and created and adhered to.
Absolutely.
Are you a proponent of time-bound agendas?
Time-bound where everything's time-set.
10 o'clock, we're going to be, boom, and then anybody that wants to be there for that event
right.
knows they have to be there by 9:55
yeah.
to be there rather than... And the other one, you can argue also,
right.
here's a topic, but we really need to touch all bases on it. If it goes a little long, better for it to go a little long than to shut off the discussion prematurely.
Well, a lot of times things go long because people want to speak 10 times and lobby their position. And I'm not much in favor of that. You know, I very much want to say, all right, we've had a chance for everybody to speak. And then when hands go back up to be recognized by the chair, it's like, so do you have something new to add? You know, that's kind of my philosophy.
Up, oh, hands up. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Supervisor Steve Madrone. Steve, as you look at the various committees, one of the things that I have always been stunned and amazed at is that we have so many.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I don't know if there's inertia, and that's why we have so many, or if it's because there's so many more things that have to be or that you're looking for citizen input from,
mm-hmm.
or what it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things may have changed, but I know Dad was on the first Parks and Rec Committee mm-hmm. in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I was on the last.
There you go.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but it means
something.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. But it was a committee that was established, went for a couple of decades, and then disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Disappeared because there was no need for it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there regular review of the committees and commissions that exist to determine whether or not they're still even necessary? let alone if you can find bodies to sit in the meetings.
You know, I think a lot of that happens in a natural way when you can't really even find anybody. It's sort of like, maybe we don't need this committee anymore. And there certainly are some of those. I think we as a board also could do a lot better at respecting the work of the committee. I mean, if you're going to set up this committee and ask people to engage, you know, and volunteer and spend all this time, and then they give us input and we just kind of disregard it, that to me is an issue. I frankly, why would you want the committee if you're not going to really utilize it, right?
Well, that's a toughie. You know, are they advisory? Yeah.
They are
advisory. Are they consultants?
They're advisory.
Or are they the decision makers?
They're advisory, and we're the decision makers at the end of the day.
So I would think healthy, maybe one out of every 20. Rather than just, you know, the phrase rubber stamping, sure. I guess.
Well, one of the most important ones, you brought it up in your introduction, is the Planning Commission, for instance. And how do I pick a person for these committees? Number one, I want them to show up. I want them engaged. I want them to do their homework. I want them to read their packets and really be informed and come to the meeting with as much of an open mind as they can. Obviously, we all carry biases with us, no matter.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if we didn't, we'd have no experience,
well,
right?
We really wouldn't. That's exactly
that's experience.
Right. And that's what bias is. It comes from our worldview, our experience, and that kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's how you apply that, you know, in a decision-making process. So I want them to be there every time. I want them to do their homework, and I want them to engage fairly. So for me, that's it.
I understand not be a radio guy.
Yeah, well, right, you have more influence.
Yeah.
You get to trick us on these who said it questions and all that stuff.
I'll get even with
make
you,
us
buddy.
Look bad. No, he doesn't even know that easy street stuff. But you know, I have to say that for me, I also wanted a Native American representative on my committee because the 5th district has 8 out of 9 of the tribes in the district, right?
So have property representation or
exactly.
Something. Yeah.
Some significant ancestral territory or whatever it might be.
You're not going to appoint Ryan, are you?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. No. So bottom line for me was that I wanted somebody like that. And I will tell you that in my 4 years with my Planning Commission representative, I've never called them or emailed them once about a single issue on the Planning Commission agenda. I picked the person. I watch to make sure they're engaged and attending the meetings. Everybody misses one now and then, but if you're missing a bunch of meetings, you're not engaged. And, you know, that has been a problem in the past with appointees, trying to get over the hill, say, from the Trinity Valley and that kind of thing.
Well, if there's a physical limitation
COVID made
or
it,
issue.
You know, a Zoom thing, but now we're back to in-person and hybrids and things like that. So I just want them to be really engaged, and I'm not going to interfere. I want them to do their work and do their best. And I think, you know, as a supervisor, sure, you appoint somebody that tends to line up with your basic philosophies in life. I'm sure that's fairly true across the board. You know, it would make sense. I mean, that's why you're there, to be able to make those kinds of
appointments. Well, there still are the at-large positions also that are
together. Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Well,
yeah.
And one of the things, as I said earlier, we're having a discussion here coming up. Either it's on the 20th or 27th, or maybe it's in October. I think it is in October now, to review the process of appointees on the Planning Commission. There is some thought that maybe
just that commission?
Just that commission at this point. And there's some thought that maybe even though the district rep has the ability to appoint somebody, that maybe it should still be ratified by the whole board. Not quite an at-large position, but similar in the sense of that. And I don't know what the pros and cons of that are, to be honest.
That kind of defeats the concept, doesn't
it? Well, on some levels it does, but, you know, the recent situation is what brought that up. And
yeah, well, what I'm thinking is if you have, let's say, 5-0 slanted, whichever perspective.
Right.
Okay, then all your commissions are going to reflect that also, even though the community may not have that unanimity across the board. You know, at least have an outlier, somebody to represent and to be the voice of the opposition.
Well, there are many people who would say that the Board of Supervisors, when it was 4-1 not that long ago in one direction, and even when it was 3-2 for the last 4 years in my term, leaning more to the right than the left, doesn't represent the broader community of Humboldt County, you know, and that the current makeup that's starting in January with three that are more progressive probably more closely mimics where we're at as a community here in Humboldt County. I don't know. I don't study
but
that
then,
stuff.
But then if you had the three voting in one direction, then somebody from a conservative area they wouldn't have representation.
Well, they do, but they're in the minority, which is where I've been
but
my whole life.
No, if then everybody had to confirm.
Yeah, you know, what's
then
really,
you could throw out that person. So it just
what's good is
interesting.
No matter whether you're in the minority or the majority, to try and play fair and work together. Bottom line.
And that's rare unto itself.
Easy street.
It's 8:30.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Supervisor Steve Madrone. Steve, as you look at the various commissions and committees, there are some that are those high profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those that you kind of go, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like
interesting.
The PC. Is that politically correct or is that the Planning Commission?
Yeah, yeah. How often do those committees get looked at or reviewed? I know you guys probably get the reports and their inputs, and that's all fine and dandy. And
yeah.
But the viability of these committees, you'd said that, you know, if the chair is empty, maybe that's an indication.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe people don't even know the thing exists.
Well, absolutely.
Or they haven't had that phone call,
you know,
outreach from the appointers.
Certainly.
To a potential, say, hey, I think you got the stuff to help us out here. Would you consider?
Yeah,
that's going to be a whole lot different than you getting a call from Papstein going, hey, Steve, old buddy, old pal. And you wonder, why does he want to be on that committee?
Yeah, absolutely. What are you trying to do here, Brian?
Yeah. What don't I see in this picture?
What influence are you trying to leverage here? You know, I think it happens organically in the sense that, for instance, about 5 years ago, we created a Housing Trust Fund and Homelessness Solutions Committee, right? And we took two very disparate, different focused groups. One is housing first philosophy, where you got to get people into a house, otherwise you really can't start turning their lives around. The other group is like, yeah, that'd be nice, but there's no houses to put people in. So in the meantime, we need to do safe parking lots, sanctioned camps, tiny homes, other kinds of solutions to try and deal with the homelessness issue. But it really didn't work out all that well. So we're in the process of maybe separating those out and reinventing what we're doing with those. So,
well, or it sounds like some of those could be parceled out to other existing committees. You said the tiny homes and,
right.
You know,
well, the Housing Trust Fund has taken off. It's now happening on its own, and there's specific funding for that that's coming down. So I think it happens, like I said, organically in that over time, you see it's not working, and then we revisit it. But we're not... We don't have like an annual schedule that we go through where we revisit the committees and ask ourselves, are they working or not working? It comes to us because it's not working, right?
And some are quarterly or biannual.
Certainly.
So it's like, okay, but just to see the
like
list.
Measure Z is an incredible committee, but it only meets for 3 or 4 months, say.
Yeah,
March,
but it's about weekly,
March,
isn't it,
June.
Once you start grinding?
It is, because they've got a lot of proposals, a lot of money, trying to work through all that process, et cetera. So that one has a focus in a certain part of the year.
So what are staff impressions or interpretations of some of these committees? Because there's always somebody from a staff position, whether it's a department head or a senior, that gets assigned to these committees that, you know, I would think, if nothing else, they're the answer and the liaison between the committee and the rest of the county formally.
Absolutely.
What is their impression? So you talk to these people and say, you know, is this thing worthwhile? Are you getting good stuff?
Creates a lot of work for staff. And
exactly.
And we in Humboldt don't, as Board of Supervisors, we do not have individual staff. None of us. We have four staff members that are shared by the five board members as a whole. And they have to provide support to all these various committees to get the minutes out, to post the announcements for the meetings so that we meet the posting requirements and other kinds of things. Try to regularly do Brown Act training for the various committees, standing committees, things like that. You know,
I would think if you could go from 30 to 25 or 30 to 20,
it could be a good thing for staff.
They might even buy you a birthday cake this year.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. Yeah. you know, I'll bring up the MCMAC, the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee. That's an incredible committee that provides this function in McKinleyville that helps the town have a little bit more of a governance and a say because it's unincorporated. There is the community service district that does a phenomenal job with sewer, water, parks, and streetlights, but it leaves a void for tons of other stuff. So at the CSD meetings, there might be one or two people in the audience, but at the MCMAC meetings, there's almost always 20 or more because we're dealing with town center ordinances, safe transportation.
The sexy process. Stuff.
Yeah.
Not roads.
Yeah, sewer.
Yeah. yeah.
But, the CSD does an amazing job. It's one of the best in the state from my perspective. Of course, I'm not biased on that, right?
Yeah.
At any rate, MCMAC is an incredible thing, but it does create some work for the staff. Now, just Monday, we tentatively approved some budget items, and one of those included an annual allotment for the MCMAC to be able to do their work. And part of that cost is because we're doing hybrid meetings now, and that costs money for the technology, for the staff to run the meeting, things like that. But staff have been great at helping the MCMAC with getting its minutes out, posting its agendas, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, each committee has different stuff. And a lot of people say, well, if we give the MCMAC money, then we're going to have to give some money to all these other committees. Well, the MCMAC actually has a set of rules that the board has adopted for it. And in those rules, it says the board will annually arrive at an appropriate budget amount to support their services.
Well, I would
they're
think
helping the county.
I would think you would do that for any of the county committees and commissions.
You would think so.
But if you've got one that doesn't...
Most of them operate without anything.
Yeah, staff time.
A little bit of staff time,
okay.
But nothing
but
else.
But something...
Yeah.
One committee that requires a lot of resource.
Certainly.
And another committee has little, doesn't mean you fund them both at the same extent.
That's exactly
I mean, that's
right.
Goofy.
Yeah, when people worry about precedents, it's like, no. You look at the specifics. You
the
know?
Precedence is we think about this
yes,
stuff.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Imagine that. What a world.
That shockwave goes through the...
right. Thinking. Oh, Brian, gosh.
That's right. You don't want me on one of those committees.
I expect a call from you tomorrow. Yeah. Steve, I see there's a vacancy.
Yeah.
On the Homeless of Sluskins Committee. Can you put me on there?
Yeah. You'd wonder why I was up that late reading that kind of stuff.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, in our packets, I mean, as a board, we get packets with 1,000 pages, you know, and if you're really going to do your homework, you don't read all 1,000. But you really do need to look at every agenda item and try your best to at least look at the staff report.
Well, you get a summary of each item, don't you, from staff?
The staff report does that, but then there's all the micro details embedded in all the other reports.
Oh, yeah, if you want to jump down into
If you want to really get down into it. And I have to say, Supervisor Bushnell the other day in the budget session, it was obvious to me she had really done her homework. She had delved down in on a number of issues and items. And, you know, that's partly because she's new and wants to understand the process really well. But kudos to her. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Well, she's also a business person.
She is.
So she's used to looking at a lot of those types of things. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, you know, business. A lot of people say we need people on the board with more business experience. It's like, I'm a businessman, but I don't tout that so much as other things, right?
Well, as smaller, you know, maybe we don't have budgets.
Well, I've run million-dollar budgets with 30 or 40 employees in my career, you know. So I am a businessman, very successful businessman. In fact, I would submit
you make a wrong turn to become a supervisor.
I would submit to you that I helped create a whole watershed restoration industry, you know, in my career here in Humboldt, which is a multi-million-dollar industry that employs heavy equipment.
That's why Wilson likes you.
That's environmental engineer, right?
Hey, good. Then we can talk about the place next to the county office of Ed and we can't clean that up.
There we go. You mean where the fence is coming down?
Daily.
Daily, yes.
It's 8:44.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, as you look at some of the different challenges, committees, all of this kind of the infrastructure, whether it's the formal structure of the county or this kind of associated structure, I would suspect that if you and I had a couple of beers, we could come up with five or six really viable new committees that would be serving today's challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's PC, not because it's grant funded, not right. because staff is pushing for it,
right.
but because it's necessary.
Oh yeah, we're desperately in need of better medical services, for instance.
Whatever it might happen to be.
Yeah.
Why isn't there more of an emphasis on that? Not to have more committees, but to replace committees and
well,
exchange them.
And by doing that and actually focusing on the current issues and what is likely to become even larger issues in the future that we can see evolving and emerging, we might actually be able to eliminate a lot of those other problems and committees
right.
and stuff.
Or
we're actually dealing with the issues.
Or whatever the result is, we sure. might be regionalizing.
Absolutely.
And it could, not a profit center, because I know government can't make profit. Ha ha, wink, wink. But more areas could be served, and then maybe we can do a quid pro quo and
right.
really leverage that into a multiplier of
right.
ways to make our area better.
Yeah, well, that's a really great point, Brian. For instance, Humboldt is really the hub for a four-county area.
Sure.
For the region, for Del Norte, Trinity, Humboldt, and Mendocino. We're the hub, and that's partly why we have Semper Virens. Because most counties don't have a mental hospital. Here we are a little bit with a mental hospital, but it's something out of the dark ages. And, you know, and I'm not blaming anybody, but it's hard on staff. It's not great for the clients. There's only like 16 beds. There's no juvenile beds at all in the county. So if you know your juvenile folks, your children in the community are considering suicide or any number, they get sent off to Santa Rosa, right? And they're not even near the family now and stuff. So could we do better? Yes. Right across from the courthouse, the county owns that entire parking lot. Could we take that parking lot and build a four or five-story structure, parking underneath, and consolidate all of the Department of Health and Human Services programs with a new state-of-the-art modern hospital with maybe 50 beds rather than 16 and some juvenile beds?
You really like that 50, huh?
Well, and state-of-the-art, you know, integrated services. We know better how to integrate this stuff now, but right now, we're spread out all over the city of Eureka leasing,
well,
and
with
we
all
could
the,
be building our own facilities.
With all these monies
yeah.
available at
yes.
the state level, I mean, $2 billion surplus.
Huge surplus.
You would think that there would be an opportunity, kind of like a Measure Z concept,
yeah.
of new idea,
yeah.
test project, pilot project, whatever phraseology
right.
you want to do,
right.
and that you could give that to the electeds.
Yep.
And they could run it up the flagpole and say, mm-hmm. okay, here's $20 million, $25 million. That's probably
yeah.
not enough, but
yeah.
$100 million, whatever the
yeah.
magic number is.
Yeah.
With the proviso, you guys are going to be regional.
That's
you are
right.
going to be an eight county.
That's right.
You will get Certainly. Sonoma County people coming in because
well, Sonoma this does is, well with Santa Rosa. But
this is a test run
Absolutely.
For the region, and then they will get one if it works out. And
yeah.
we start to then kind of...
Well, Humboldt is a hub. It is absolutely a regional hub, and I think we could be doing these things. The other one that we need to consolidate is planning, building, public works, and land use planning, and all these other things. You know, right now...
One facility.
All over. Yeah, and one state-of-the-art, you know, facility where people can come and get all the services they need. So, you know, we've talked about these things in our facilities management planning, but we really aren't being, I think, as assertive and aggressive as we need to be.
Are the dollars there, though?
Right now, they absolutely are.
Or do we know that the dollars are there? See, I mean, I had to bring the AC in just a little bit.
AC, yeah.
All right. I'll let you dodge that one. We'll talk next month. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.